Blog Talk Radio.
Shaina Yisrael with another edition of the Yehuda Project on Blog Talk Radio on the first day of the week. How's everybody doing today? Hope all is well. I don't really have a whole lot to talk about today, just kind of hanging out like we usually do because we always usually find something to talk about. But yesterday's class was very interesting. I wonder how many people on the call today watch the program that we told you to watch after class yesterday. Anybody do that? If you did, push one. All praises be to the Most High Yah. Or did you guys just let it ride with what we was talking about yesterday, waiting on next week? I did. I thought it was very interesting. You know, when we put all that information together, we're going to get really deep into those topics as we move forward. Because we have to, you know, because this is the stuff that we should already know. I've been watching a lot of the IUIC, and they've been doing something called the Church Blitz. And, you know, they are really ratcheting it up when it comes to the churches and stuff, you know, and very interesting. It's very, very interesting. You know, on one end, you know, it's interesting to see, you know, how they changed their approach, which I think is very good. On the other end, it's very interesting to see how the other people, the church people, react to them. And it has been a mixture of anger. It has been a mixture of trying to debunk them. And it's been a mixture of sarcasm. It's been a lot of different things. But, I mean, I think that, you know, for the most part, that is good. You know, I really can say that I really do think that that is a good thing, what they're doing. You know, because the more I watch it, the more I realize, you know, that there's a lot of people that are outside of these church establishments, you know, that are they're coming to listen, but for the most part, they're coming to debunk them. And as a result of them coming to debunk them, they're finding out that the history that they think they know, they really don't know. They really don't know. And it's amazing to see how much those guys do know, you know, when it comes to history. You know, so I think it's a wonderful thing, you know, that people have, you know, decided that, you know, they are interested in trying to challenge them. And I, you know, and we know they can't. You know, and again, guess what? And the biggest thing is that we know that the Most High is the one who does the awakening. However, somebody has to plant the seed. You know, and the seed is being planted. And not only that, what I do notice is that, you know, the more, they're okay as long as they're talking about nationality. But the moment they say something about them ties, oh my goodness, that's when they get the pushback. And it is so fun to watch, you know, the information that they try to give as justification for the ties. And they've gone to all the churches. They've gone to the Baptist church, the Seventh-day Adventist church, the Apostolic Church, they're going to all of them, you know, and it's just interesting to see, you know, how these people are coming up against them with a knowledge that they just really don't have. And if nothing else, it'll make people start to think. The one thing that I have seen, I've seen some aggressive women that try to forcibly bully them to stop them from talking. I don't know how they felt like they were going to get away with that, but they did try to do that. And it's just interesting. It's interesting to see the reactions. It really is. You know, because we know that this is one of the issues that we have to deal with. And for so long, for years, nobody's bothered them. You know, the church has been allowed to do what they wanted to do, and nobody has bothered them. You know, so I just think it's very interesting. I really do. I have just really been watching it because it's all over YouTube. You know, they went to Tony Evans' church, and oh my goodness, the war was on. And I mean, you know, this guy stood there, and he really tried to explain the captivity, and he was trying to tell them that the captivity was already over with, that when the captivity ended with Rome. And, you know, when them brothers start breaking that stuff down, I was like, oh, no, you need to go and just have a moment, have a seat, because you don't know what you're talking about. And it's just really, it's a pleasure to see them in action. I mean, really, really, and without the hooping and the hollering, without the calling names, without all that, I'm telling you, it's something to watch, because they are very skilled at what they do. And I have to give it to them. I really do. I have to give it to them. They are extremely skilled in what they do. So, you know, I find it fascinating. Some people may not want to watch it, but it's all over YouTube, and it's called The Church Blitz. And the man was like, well, why are you messing with us on Sunday? Why don't you go down there to where the drug dealers is? Why don't you do this and go down there where the prostitutes and the whoremongers and stuff is? He said, we do that Monday through Thursday. He said, and then on Friday and Saturday, we observe the Sabbath, and we come over here on Sunday. He said, we do it. We do it all week. This is something we do all week. And, you know, and I think that it's a good thing that they're going to the church. I really do. Some people may disagree, but they've been getting away with it with impunity for long enough, in my opinion. They've been taking people's money for long enough. They have been using those scriptures. They've been telling people that the Old Testament is done away with, and then they go back and reach back in the Old Testament and grab scriptures that are talking to the Israelites and then try to apply it to their motivational speech that they give on Sunday. And it's time out for that. So I all praise to the Most High. I think it's wonderful. I really do. You know, but like I said, they don't get no pushback until they start talking about that money. When they start telling the people that they ain't got no business paying tithes, all hell breaks loose. You know, so I just think it is. So I just want to open the floor. Anybody want to talk about, you want to share your opinions, your thoughts, you have anything in particular you want to talk about, you want to talk about the class yesterday, you have an opinion about the class yesterday or something to that nature, please feel free to push 1 at any time. 1 will put you in the queue, and we will give you a chance to air your thoughts on what you think. You know, don't everybody jump at once, because I hate talking to myself. Hold on, I got you, Brother Yerah Shalom. Shalom, shalom, my brother. How are you today?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. I'm sorry I missed most of the class yesterday, but y'all, I got in the comfort zone where I went to sleep on the Sabbath, and I did not wake up until about 5 o'clock.
That's good. You know, I want to do that, but I'd be scared. Like, once I'm up around 12, if I try to hit the pit, y'all will be sitting there by y'allself. I'm saying, so I understand.
I woke up, I said, oh, my God, I done missed the class and everything. Yes, I felt so comfortable.
Good.
I felt so good. But I do have something for you on the top of you talking about them guys going to the churches.
Yes.
It's affecting people, because even people down here are watching those doggone videos.
Yeah.
And I got asked a question at work the other night. It just shocked me that somebody would ask me that question.
Mm-hmm.
Young lady asked me a question. She said, so these people are saying, you guys are saying that the Israelites were black. The old Hebrews were black. And I got to thinking, she said, how is it that some of them are black over there and some of them are white? I know they have two different groups of people. And she was talking about the Ethiopian Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And she said,
mm-hmm.
How are they black and they are declared Jews, but then they don't want to fool with us? I said,
right.
Good question.
That's a good question.
She said, it can't be that some of the Jews are black and some of them are white. They're either black or white, because they ain't no spotted babies. If they were mixed, they would be looking like hybrids. And she said
that. That's so very true. See, I told you, it's making people think. It is making people think. It really is. You know, it really is making people think. You know. And they're coming out of them churches and they asking questions and they're coming out of them churches trying to debunk these guys. And, you know, you be looking at them like, don't even try. Don't do it. You know, especially the guys at Tony Evans Church. Oh, my goodness. It was just...
Was it a beat down? Was it a verbal beat down?
It was. You know what I'd like to say to IUIC is excellent job. I mean, for real, all you had to do was just clean it up just a little bit, and they did. And they wasn't yelling at nobody. They wasn't screaming at nobody. They was talking in love, and the brothers stepped to them to debunk them. And when them brothers got through with the one brother, I kind of felt sorry for the guy, you know, because they cannot come up against it. And it's real sad. It is really is. It's a sad day when you try to come up against them because you can't do it. It was real sad. I'm trying to find it right now because I watched it all. You know, I watched them today, and I enjoy watching them because I learned some history from them too. You know, they kind of added some information to what I know. And I'm like, wow, you know, because they get down. When they talk about the history, they get down to the history of things, you know. And it was just a blessing, you know, to be able to hear that. So, you know, and Tony Evans is one of those type of pastors where, you know, he's a man's man. You know, if you call him woman, where's your husband? I'm not going to even talk to you. He's one of them type of guys. So, you know, let the men deal with men. And I think that's a wonderful, and they dealt with his people. Because he was certainly out there trying to tell them about the curse. And the man was like, no, the captivity ain't over with yet. And he was like, and you all used from Babylon to Timbuktu. And he was trying to debunk that man when that brother got through with him. It was an ugly situation. It was really bad. He walked off. He did. He walked off in love. You know, he walked off in love, and, you know, they did what they had to do.
You know, I think the Most High, he's putting it out there. He's touched them brothers' hearts that they go and do that, and I think it's a wonderful thing that they're doing it the right way. And I think he's touching it because I think it's ramping up and it's time to go. So time to go, and you get over that, it's going to click in your mind, the second exit. Maybe them brothers were talking about something. So when we get there, we come together.
Absolutely. No question about it. Absolutely. No question about it. And, you know, and like I said, and then you got the crazy women, you know, the crazy woman up there hollering at them and throwing stuff at them and doing all kind of stuff and then talking about Jesus in the same breath, you know, and it's just not going to work. Nobody's listening to that no more, you know. And then they want to fight. And it's like, how you fighting and praying at the same breath? If you believe what you believe is true, then go do what you got there. And the man really wasn't paying her no attention. You know, they politely just edged her on and moved her on out the way.
Yeah, which is the right thing to do. Get on out the way.
See, they sent her on with her hooping and hollering and carrying on because nobody really wasn't paying her no attention. You know, she thought she was going to get a reaction. And, you know, like I said, emotions ain't going to get it no more. You know, we have been robbed with emotions. We have been stripped with emotions. We have been deceived with emotions. You know, whether it's happy emotions or angry emotions, we got to put the emotions down to come with some real live truth now. Emotions is over.
Yeah.
It is. That ain't going to change nobody. We don't want no more testimonies. We don't want no more hallelujah sessions. Come with some truth. Because clearly, if you've been in the scriptures you've been in the church for 30 years and you don't know no word and you really can't put it together, there's a problem somewhere. You've been entertained for 30 years. And it's time to come out of there. It really is. Because how many times do people come on our class and be like, we ain't never learned this stuff in church?
Yeah, I mean, that's all the time. And, I mean, I go back even think about myself. You know, we never heard none of that.
No. No, absolutely not. You know. And now the pastors is mad because they being exposed. You know, now, like I said, they've gotten away with it for years and years and years. And they've been doing stuff with impunity and been lying for the longest of time, and it just ain't no more time for that. You know.
You know what the scripture says? To pastors, it says, woe to you shepherds who lead my flock astray. You know, and now they're being exposed. They're doing that very thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. It's really something to see. You know. that they come out to try.
It's great.
Yes, indeed. And they really come out, and it's like, come on now, dude, don't do that. Please go have a seat, because you do not want, you do not want to do that. You do not want to put your, you don't know enough. And you know what, when I was in church, I thought Tony Evans was the bomb. I used to listen to him at work, you know, because of the way he expounded and the things that he said on the word. But after, you know, like I said, to the truth, and you realize he, they wasn't talking about nothing.
They ain't really never really talking about too much.
No, absolutely. So yeah, I was very interested to see, you know, what they was gonna say, because I got all kind of stuff here from the different churches, and you know they're being very polite. They talking, you know, they asking questions. The people is listening, you know. When the pastors come over, they go through the whole thing. And they try to debunk them.
And they can't.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was saying they can't debunk them.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely can't. And the biggest thing is that they have to come to the conclusion that Christ was an Israelite. He was a Hebrew Israelite.
Yeah.
They can call him what they want to. They can talk about him the way they want to. But Christ was a Hebrew Israelite. He was born from a Hebrew Israelite mother and a Hebrew Israelite father from the tribe of Yehuda, or Judah, as they say. He was an Israelite.
Can't get around that.
No kind of way. No kind of way. None at all whatsoever. You know, so I just think it was just a very, very, it was very enlightening. You know, they call the police on them, and the police don't do nothing. The police just stand there. Like he told them, this is our constitutional right to be able to preach about our religion from freedom of speech on government property. As long as we on this sidewalk, we can preach about our, we not nowhere near his church. We not nowhere on his property, on his church. We standing over here. And I think it's wonderful. I really do. I think it's wonderful. Now, that's something that I think men should do. Because, I mean, you guys do it so well. I mean, you do. It's wonderful. Ooh. Anybody else want to push more? Let me tell you what the class was about today. We came up to the conclusion, we're in Isaiah chapter 53, that said that Christ had a seed.
They had a what?
He has a seed in the earth.
Yep.
So we were talking among ourselves about what could it have been a possibility that he was married. And we were also talking about, you know, if he was married, who was he married to? And if he has children, what type of children are they in the earth today? So that's what our class ended up being about. It was very interesting.
So that would be Mary Magdalene, because, you know, he was, you know, he was very fond of Mary Magdalene.
That's what history says. That's what history says. It does say that, you know. So, and I told everybody to watch the Da Vinci Code, because a lot of the stuff they have there is truth. You know what I'm saying, in terms of history and different things like that. So it was very interesting. It was very. A lot of people couldn't handle it. You know, some people hung up. They don't want to think that far. No, but it is what it is. You know, like I told you, we gonna touch some levels that needs to be touched. You know.
Uh-huh.
But I think that, you know, we're here now. You know, it's time for us to get out of here. And we have to know everything, because at some point, we're really going to be spearheading this thing. And I think people don't understand that there's a protocol and order to this thing. Because he said salvation is to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. So we have to be the ones to be first.
Yep.
You know. So I just thought it was, you know, it was a very good class. It was very active and, you know, interactive, and everybody had something to say, you know, and I just think it was very good. Anybody want to join in on this conversation, you feel free to do that, you know. And you can't take nothing off the table nowadays, knowing what you know. You know, you can't just assume that everything is one way, knowing what you know, because it's not. Not.
That's true.
And a lot of that is Christianity. You know, we still holding on to some of the things that we was taught from the theologians in the Christianity movement. A lot of it is. You
know. But, you know, once people start getting a little whiff of it, it does make you question stuff. I mean, it really does. And once they start questioning, that's all you want. Because then they'll start looking at what it is.
Yeah. Real talk. That is the truth. If ever there was the truth, that is definitely the truth. You know, because like I said before, for me, the tithing thing was an issue way before I even came out of the church. The tithing thing was an issue even then. You know, because when I went to research it, it didn't make any sense, because I didn't even equate it with the Israelites. I just figured out it had nothing to do with money, you know.
Right.
And I still didn't make the connection until he woke me up, you know. So, you know, that's going to be a big issue, because, you know, Christianity and these churches are organizations. They're non-profit organizations. They don't pay taxes. They don't have to pay taxes on anything that they have. And they're taking this money from these people tax-free.
Oh, God.
And they threaten people with the word. If you don't do this, the devourer is going to eat up your food. You robbing God if you don't give your 10%. You have a man rob God. And when you reach back into the scriptures, those scriptures were to the Israelites. That was to the Israelites, it's really extortion. What it is? It is. It really is. It's extortion. So, you know, we just have to, and you have to be able to understand that, you know, because you don't have to give anybody 10% of your earnings. Anybody. Now, we know that it takes money to run your organization, but you got to be like everybody else. You're going to have to take donations like everybody else do.
They don't want to do that.
Yeah. You know, you're a nonprofit organization. You just have to take donations like everybody else has to do. And then the last time that we played the clip where they had went to court on the church thing, and the lady was like, oh, well, we have degrees from college. You ain't working.
Yeah.
So unless you got a job and you working a job with that degree that you have, how can you even use that asset? Because you got to get income from somewhere. So it's going to get real interesting now.
So if you really think about it, How much money does the church make?
Shoo!
That's
billions. Yeah, millions. A small church. When I say small, it was 100 people with children and everything. And on any given Sunday, we would take up at least $2,000 to $3,000.
Yeah, mine was like that too, and it was small, not even quite 100, and it would pick up $2,000 to $3,000 even.
And I mean a small church. It was small. One way in, one way out. You know, one bathroom for everybody to use. It was a small church. Now, when we paid our tithes, we would bring in a good, easy $10,000. So to the point where it scared the pastor. He quit his job.
Wow.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, the funds are there, and you got a congregation of 200 to 300 people of all backgrounds, education, financial backgrounds, and they paying you 10% of their income plus offering.
Yeah, that's pretty healthy.
Yeah. And as for me, I'm doing good because I was used to be like, I want my money back. I was deceived. I really was deceived into believing something that wasn't true. And as a result of that, I gave you money under false pretenses. And I really would like to have my money back. I was trying to think of a way. It's probably too late now because the statute of limitations is over. But to be able to sue those churches to get my money back.
It'll be good just for people that are doing it now, because there are some people that take their rent money,
they
don't go on light bill money, and they put it into the tithe, and the church don't help them.
And don't help them. Show don't. Welfare mothers doing the best they can because they're lying to these women, telling them that if you give this 10%, God is obligated to make sure you be all right. No, that's deception.
Yep.
Pure deception. You know? From a non-profit organization. Pure deception. You know, it takes a lot. You know, to even be able to deal with this stuff, it's like, wow, these people are off the chain. But they got away with it for so long. They've gotten away with it. Now, I don't believe in everything that IUIC and them teach, but the fact that they're out there bringing awareness to who we are, and the tithing, and the church, and all the stuff they telling the people in the church, I think that's an excellent thing. I just really do.
Yeah.
It's been well needed for many, many years. And like
they haven't been challenged.
Say that again.
They haven't been challenged.
No. Sunday morning is when the performance starts. That's when the show starts on Sunday morning. You know, and nobody's bothering them. So they can stand up over their pulpit and tell everybody that we was a cult and don't believe them people dressed up in them crazy outfits and don't listen to them Hebrew Israelites say what they got to say because they don't know what they're talking about and get away with it. And now that everybody's being put on Front Street and you hear the conversation that's going on between the so-called theologian scholars, they don't know what they're talking about. They don't. Crucial. You know, they just don't understand it. And it's like, no. It is truly something. You know, they don't know when the Sabbath is. They don't know nothing. And you like, where you been? The man said we had church on the eighth day of the week. And it's like, there's not 8 days. Oh, my goodness gracious of mercy. It's just incredible. No. but it's time. And this has got to be y'all, because it's time. It really is. It's time to do it. You know, we've gotten a lot of push. We've gotten a lot of hits on the pastor with the prophecy about us leaving here and going back to our land. We've got a lot of different prophecies, a lot of hits on that one as well, which has been truly a blessing. It has been a blessing. You know, it really has. We've got to get our women together. And I'm saying this from a women's standpoint. You know, we've got to work on our women. Now, we really, really do. You know, we got to, because, you know, only we can do that. You guys do a great job with the teachings and stuff, but that's our job, is to get our women together. You know, and they've got to stop. They got to be broken from that aggressive mentality, because it's aggressive. You know, the lady was ready to fight. And they just was pushing her out the way like, man, please. You know. We got a lot of work to do. But there's a brother that I wanted you guys to hear, because, you know, we got a lot of work to do when it comes to our young people. And I just want you to hear this young man, because it broke my heart today when I listened to this young brother say what he said because of what he did. He did something really atrocious. I mean, terrible. And just to listen to his reasoning behind it, I was like, man, we got some work to do. We really do have some work to do, because this brother right here got some serious issues. And you know, we can't just say, well, that don't belong to us and we ain't got nothing to do. I want you to hear this, what he did. Hold on, just let me get this on here. Let me move to this part, because this one is a little bit clearer. You can hear it.
And now at 6, 3 confessions in 30 minutes.
Colabale, a man who tells us he went on a killing spree last week in Norfolk and Virginia Beach had no problem admitting he shot and killed 3 of his close contacts. And he told our Kelsey Donovan he was looking for more victims.
Now, we do want to caution our viewers. The details of this story may be disturbing to some of you. Now, Chelsea Donovan, she sat down with Beal in a very candid interview today. This was just unbelievable.
Yeah, surreal, Barbara. I asked why Cole Beal decided to talk to us today. He said he had no problem telling the truth, and there was no reason for him to plead not guilty. He said he had a reason for killing each of his 3 victims, and before he got caught, he says he was ready to kill more.
So did you shoot your girlfriend and burn her house down?
Yeah, I did.
Just seconds into our half-hour-long conversation in the Virginia Beach jail, 30-year-old Cole Beal candidly admits to killing his girlfriend, 31-year-old Xavier Hill.
I had the breaking point when her mom kept calling. She was crying like, so what is he going to do?
Beal said he was fed up with her parents interfering in their relationship, and her attitude changed. So he says he snapped inside her Virginia Beach home on Tuesday of last week.
Where did you shoot her?
I shot her in the head. So when I put the dog in the room, I was about to set the dog on fire. And she told me, she said, no, don't do nothing to the dog. You can take me, do whatever you want to do to me instead, and let him live. So I did that.
Hill's body was discovered 2 days later by police.
So you killed her Tuesday, set her house on fire on Thursday?
Exactly.
Do you have remorse for killing your girlfriend?
I mean, you snap. You don't think about remorse. You just snap.
12 hours later, Beal tells me he headed to his adopted father's home on Linda Court in Virginia Beach, the home of 73-year-old Clifton Baxter.
But when I killed him, I found like $20,000.
Beal said he had beef with Baxter for not helping him financially. With him during that murder, 32-year-old Downing McLean, his cousin, who would soon become his 3rd victim. Beal told me the 2 of them got into an argument after he killed Baxter.
I got fed up with him because he kept talking like you not about this, you not going to do nothing. Like, bro, I just killed 2 people. You don't think I'm ready to shoot again? So I was right in the kitchen and shot him right in the head. He didn't drop. He just kept moving in circles. Then I shot him back to make sure we hit the ground.
3 days in a row, three victims. Beal tells us he went to Hampton on Thursday with his cousin's girlfriend as his hostage to chill out in an Airbnb as he watched the manhunt for himself on the news.
So, I mean, I was definitely watching your broadcast. I did some good broadcast.
He said while in that Airbnb, he was plotting who to kill next.
I was definitely looking for more people, but I was choosing my people wisely.
Tuesday night of this week, the U.S. Marshals caught him 1 week after Beal says he started his killing spree.
Do you feel any remorse for killing spree?
I don't feel no remorse about none of this at all. When you snap, you don't think about remorse. It's not something that comes to your mind when you're snapping.
Now, from behind bars, the admitted killer says he's got a message for those watching.
You've just admitted to us to killing three people, and
yep.
Your advice to people at home is to go check on their loved ones?
Yes, yes, because somebody checked on their loved ones, but they didn't know they was dead on Tuesday.
What he means by Tuesday is that's when he killed, allegedly, his girlfriend. Now, he's in jail right now under no bond. He'll face the judge tomorrow. We reached out to the families of the victims. They asked for privacy at that time.
Can you imagine?
No, I can't.
This is the mentality. These people is young people. I mean, he is 30 years old. He said, I have no remorse. I'm done with it. I'm ready to die. They can go ahead and put me in an electric chair. Man.
You know, young.
Hey.
Young, I'm going to bring up a scripture. And there's a reasoning behind that scripture. And you may agree with this and you may not. But in the book of Isaiah, it does talk about, and I'm not talking about from no perverted way. I'm going to explain myself when I say this because a lot of women go the wrong way when I say this. But it does state that in that day and at that time, seven women are going to take hold of one man. It's not for no sexual purposes. It's for they have to take away the reproach to go before the Most High. Because you can't go before the Most High with all these kids. This is where I see that scripture. You know,
okay.
And you don't have a husband. But if that's going to be the case, we don't have that big of a gap between male and female populations right now in our community. We don't. That means a lot of us, as brothers, a lot of brothers don't want to look at it this way. I'm looking at it, but that should put a little fear and trembling in your heart as a man because that means that a lot of us ain't going to make it.
That's true. That is so true.
And that's the way I see that scripture, y'all. I mean, it's not no perverted way you going to have of all these seven wives you happy and all new. I can barely take care of one. So I'm seven. And I don't want to deal with that sometimes. But it's like, you know, that to put a little fear and trembling in your heart as a male because that means a lot of us are not going to make it. And then when you start hearing that mentality, I know I've tried to talk to brothers on the street, and when we were really active doing the men's call, we had a thing where we would go out, each one talk to one, each one teach one. And you try to talk to these young brothers on the street, man, y'all ain't. There's some of the things you hear coming out of these brothers. I got a brother at my job. You know, I talk to him. He's younger than I. I talk to him. I try to coach and mentor him. And he married. All he can think about is the next one. And ain't stopped yet. This is somebody in his 30s. But, you know, that's the mentality. And then if you look at some of our young men, you know, when I was at the prison system, you look at the phonetics, the speech patterns of the young men that coming in. When these young men come into the prison system, when I first started, you can understand everything everybody say. You know what I'm saying? You understood their speech. But as years went on, 20 years in the prison system, the speech got worse. Man, I don't even know what these guys are saying nowadays. You know, I can't understand them. And you're talking to them because they all talk about, you know, Sister Rachel has a hair shop right up here in the yard. She goes up there and does hair. So I go up there on occasion. She'll call me up there and everything if somebody has questions. And I go up there, and it's a common thing with the young women. I hear you saying y'all got to do some work on women. Yeah, y'all got to do some work on women. But the women tend to hear. I mean, look at the Nation of Yehuda. Look at how many females are actively involved in the Nation of Yehuda. And then look at how many males are involved in the Nation of Yehuda. And then look at the demographics of those males that are involved, like the brothers I met, like Brother William and Brother, what is it? Oh, my God.
Brother Ryan.
Brother, you're right. And you look at their demographics. These are brothers that have this pretty much so the same mentality I have. You know, it's not that aggressive, I'm going to sleep with every woman in the world mentality and all that. If you really start looking at it and focusing on that, you understand it. Because it's not like they're not being reached. It's not like they're not being talked to. But it's just a block there.
Yes, it is.
No matter how much you scream and shout, bro, you need to slow down. Bro, you need to stop. Bro, you need to listen to me. I'm an older guy. I'm 50-something years old. I'm already done what you did.
Yep.
Slow down and listen to me for a minute because this is going to get you nowhere. All it's going to get you is heartache and pain. Heartache and pain. And then you're going to call somebody else heartache and pain. I don't agree with nothing, a lot of stuff that Minister Farrakhan said. But there's one thing he said that really makes a lot of sense. He said that there ain't no such thing as a no-good woman. Every no-good woman you meet, listen to me now, every no-good woman you meet been made that way by a no-good man. And I'm gonna tell you why I believe that, because I can look at my own. She sit back here, and everything is peaches and cream. She's young. Everything is peaches and cream. They talk about having their children. They talk about having day one husband. They talk about when they get that age. That's the way they think. That's the way young girls think. And if they got a father in the home, they pattern themselves after that father.
Right.
Now, with that being said, all it takes, Jaina, is for that one little boy to go out there, all he wants is, excuse me for saying it like this, is a piece of butt and break their heart. All of a sudden now, her whole mentality and psyche has been changed.
That's true. That is very true. That is so true. That is so true. That's the truth. That really is. And I, you know what I used to say all the time is that women do not give back good men. They just don't do it. They not going to do that. If you know what I'm saying? And if you're in the street and you've done something wrong to the point where you out there, now sometimes it's the woman's fault. And I'm not saying it's always the man's fault either, because sometimes it's the woman's fault. But you know, if you really decent in the slightest way, they try to work with. We try to work with you, you know. But this this brother right here, you know, I see you, Eric Code 330. I'm coming. This brother right here, he said I'm done. He said I went through the system. They had me in the system. I was on probation. They found out the charges was bogus. They still kept me on probation. Me and my girlfriend was working toward having something together. We had been together. I never put my hands on her. We was building stuff together. I was starting my business. She was doing her thing. We had been together 2 years. Her mama got in it and didn't like me and told her to leave me alone. And just the whole thing, his whole mentality was somebody wronged me, so I'm going to kill everybody that I felt like. Shot her in the head. Hold on, let me get this number. Area code 330, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Hey, shalom, shalom.
Shalom.
Okay, sister, I know this is probably off topic, But did you see the video from Akron, Ohio today about them shooting that kid 60 times?
Oh, my God.
I did not. I haven't watched that. No, I didn't see.
Okay, so they went to pull him over here in Akron, and he didn't stop, and he got on the freeway, and he exited. Then he jumped out his car, and he ran, right?
Okay.
They claim he shot at him. But when you see this video today, because it's all over the place, the kid got out the car and he ran, right?
Right.
Two officers tried to tase him. So the first problem is if you're trying to tase him, he don't have a weapon on him.
Okay. Right.
Okay, so he's running through a parking lot, and 2 seconds later, they open fire. They fired 90 shots, and they hit him with 60. And
wow.
He was 25 years old, and Akron is sitting up here saying, well, he ran, but the first two officers on scene, they tried to tase him. So if I have a gun, and I'm pointing at you, you're not going to shoot me with a taser. You're going to try
right.
to kill me. Okay, well, the 8 other officers that showed up, 2 seconds later, they just opened fire. It sounded like the 4th of July. And the guy hit the ground, and they kept shooting him. So, you know, it's a problem up here because I live in Akron, and the police is barricaded off. Because protests are coming, and it's coming from all across the world. And again, how do you justify that one?
Okay.
You can't justify it. So
okay.
I just wanted to let y'all know that because yesterday I drove through downtown, and they had salt trucks out there with the plows in July, getting ready to put up barricades. And they had them trucks across the street trying to block off the police station so protesters can't drive by there. So
wow.
I mean, if you've seen it, if you haven't seen it, please look it up. Thank you, and that's what I wanted to tell you.
All right. Well, thank you. We certainly will look that up. I didn't even know nothing about that. I'm glad he brought that up because I didn't know anything about that at all. But, I mean, you know, all I can say is this, you know, they don't understand that the day of reckoning is coming. The Most High is he coming, and this thing is not going to, you know, everybody think it's going to end. No, it's not going to end. It's going to keep going on, but the payback from the Most High is coming. And when you do that kind of stuff and you know you wrong with it for whatever, because it don't take 60 bullets to kill nobody. And when you do something like that and you know what your intent was, he knows the intent of the heart. And the most, when he show up, because he coming, when he show up, all that's going to come to a cease. I'm telling you. He going to bring it all back to their remembrance. He is. Because you reap what you sow. That's why I tell folks, you know, think first before you react because it's coming back and he ain't playing either. You know, you just got to be careful with how you treat people. And that's across the board. You know what I'm saying? You just got to be careful the way you treat people. I'm telling you. You know, you know what it is, Brother Yerushalayim. The Most High ain't been around in a long time. He didn't let a whole lot of stuff go. But when he come, he ain't taking no prisoners with him. When he come. It's going to be a sad day. It really is going to be a sad day. Now let me let you listen to the father of the guy that was just talking. Check him out. Here we go. Check out what he did. Hold on.
Have you been
Hold
thinking
on.
About treating?
Let me get this out of the way. Because you know they always got a commercial. All right, here we go. Let me see.
Has Christmas Day, we want to get you caught up on breaking news just into the Wavy Newsroom. We have several new updates in the case of the Norfolk man accused in a killing spree that left three people dead.
We did some digging, and it turns out the father of the suspect killed his stepmother in 2014. Colin Bilt IV was arrested late last night in Hampton after U.S. Marshals, Norfolk Police, and Virginia Beach Police worked together to pick him up. Beal is the son of Cola Beal III, who was convicted of killing his own wife in Maryland back in 2014. It is a lot to unpack. So let's get the 10 on your side. John Dowding, live in the newsroom now, to walk us through this new information. John?
All right. Well, Donna Katie, we first learned that this isn't the first homicide investigation involving the Beal family. As you said, the father, Cola Beal III, was arrested back in 2014. The victim from 8 years ago, Beal's wife, June Beal. Police found her dead in the Beals' home and arrested Beal III in Norfolk. Back then, the medical examiner says June's cause of death was blunt force trauma. A year later, he was found guilty of killing June and sentenced to a mandatory 25-year prison sentence. Now, fast forward to last week. Cole Beal IV is now behind bars, accused of killing three people in Hampton Roads. First, last Thursday, police found 31-year-old Xavier Hill dead in her home on Baccalaureate Drive near Virginia Wesleyan University. What started as a fire investigation turned into a homicide. Police say Hill was shot to death and confirmed she and Hill were dating at the time. Then on Friday, a fatal shooting on Linda Court in Virginia Beach. Officers found 73-year-old Clifton Baxter dead from a gunshot wound. After Beal's own father went to prison, neighbors say Baxter became a father figure and raised Beal. Then Monday, police found 32-year-old Downing McLean dead in a home on Sewell's Point Road in Norfolk. We just learned he also died from a gunshot wound. McLean and Hill were friends. We often played video games together. Now, police say Beal knew all three of these victims, and these were not random crimes. Just like his father, Beal IV is in jail right now, facing multiple homicide charges. He has an...
Now, this is, this is father and son. Could it be generational? His father went to prison for killing the stepmom. Now, the father is in prison for 25 years. Now, the son is in prison for killing three people. Is it a generational thing?
You learn from your parents. You learn from your parents. If you callous-hearted as an adult and you like that towards your kids, you around your kids going to grow up and be callous-hearted. If you, I mean, it's just like that. You know, the fruit don't fall far from the tree.
Jeez, you know, because we say something in the women's call, and the women's class is really good. It's only an hour. But the things that we study is we study a variety of things. And we always say we learn something, and this is what they say in terms of psychology. They said that sociopaths are made, but psychopaths are born. So psychopathic is something that's passed down from generation to generation to generation. That's some crucial stuff. But his father to be a murderer too? Jeez.
That's all we can say. Yep.
That's crucial. That is crucial. You know, crazy. Oh, I know. This is Jalen Walker. Yes, I remember him. Hold on. I saw something happening with Jalen. Just let me get this. Let me see how long this one is. The man that was talking about who was shot 60 times. Yeah, I saw something about Jalen Walker on the show. Yeah, I mean on the YouTube today. I didn't look at it. Let's see. Here we go. Let's see.
Yeah, we start with team coverage out of Akron today. We got a lot of news that's been happening this afternoon. Amani Abraham is standing where a small group of protesters gathered to support Jalen Walker, who was shot and killed by police after a chase overnight Monday, and has words from his pastor.
But first, Walker's mom spoke to 3 News investigator Marissa Sines exclusively this afternoon. Autopsy records show 25-year-old Jalen Walker suffered over 60 bullet wounds after after leading police on a high-speed chase through the city early Monday morning. Police say Walker fired two shots during that chase.
Marissa Sines joins us live from Akron with more details. Marissa.
Betsy J, good evening. We were able to speak with Jalen's mother and sister here at this church behind me. It's their family church. Now, today during your interview, it's very apparent that their state of being is riddled with overwhelming shock and emotion. Now, in these first pictures that we are getting of Jalen Walker, 25-year-old Jalen Walker, you can see him with his mother and his sister, Pamela and Jada. They both say they talked every day with Jalen, ending every conversation with, "I love you." Jada tells me Jalen knew a lot of people, making an impact on all of them, but he was also reserved. She says he was a quiet guy until you really got to know him. That's why they say when they learned it was Jalen who had been shot, they became overwhelmed with emotional confusion.
I'm just profoundly sad. That's all I can say. I have never been so sad in my life, and I wouldn't wish this feeling on anybody. It's a bad place to be. It's a really bad place to be.
Someone who doesn't have a history of any kind, no bad blood in him. When we all leave here today, he's not there. He can't turn back.
Now, the Walkers did address protesters today, neither encouraging them nor deterring them from doing so. They did say if you are going to protest, they ask that you be peaceful. Now, coming up at 6, we'll tell you the one question the Walkers have and why they fear they may never get the answer. Betsy, Jay.
Certainly.
60 times. 60 times. That's incredible. That's incredible.
You know, like you said earlier, it doesn't take 60 bullets to kill somebody. You're doing that maliciously. You know what I'm saying? That's a problem. Did it hear that woman? That there's pain in her voice. That's a problem. That is a serious problem. You know, there are two issues I have with this. One, from a criminal justice standpoint, and I want to say this, because I know what laws governed me when I was in the prison system.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the school here in Georgia where we go, it's the same school, same area where the police go, the state patrol go. We learn pretty much some of the same basic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know if I was ever in a situation in the prison system where I pulled out a baton and hit somebody 60 times,
mm-hmm,
I would be in the prison. No questions asked. I don't care if he had a homemade shank or not. I would be in the prison.
Mm-hmm.
But they can sit there and shoot somebody 60 times. How? I mean, maybe I don't have that kind of heart. I hope I don't. I don't. But it's like, how can you shoot somebody 60 times and you don't have no remorse? I'd be tore up from the floor right about now. Man, I can't believe I just shot that cat 60 times. It pulls me. And you got to have some kind of hate in your heart to kill people 60 times. Now, this old savage that went in that grocery store and shot up our people, oh, they just walked him on out of there.
Yeah, they did.
And he shot people and killed people. And I hope there's some of them listening, because they need to hear this. And then you wonder why we mad. Then you wonder why we frustrated, because Dylan Roof go inside a church and shoot people, and you take him to Burger King or McDonald's and give him a burger before you take him to jail. But then this kid is shot 60 times and ain't have a gun or nothing, and you shoot him 60 times. This is, this is going to sound bad, y'all ain't, this is going to sound bad, but I got to say it because it's on my heart. When justice comes,
mm-hmm,
I want to see it. I want to see how you feel when that shoe on his other foot, or like they used to say, it ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun. And right now, we the rabbit. We ain't got no gun.
Yeah, that's, you know, and the sad part about it is the guy that walked into the grocery store in Buffalo, he had a gun with him. He shot people with the gun. And he walked out, mm-hmm. and they went to court, to jail. But this young man, 25 years old, ran from you, shot at you, and you shot him 60. They said 90 bullets was expelled. 60, it was a firing squad. That's basically a firing squad.
He was dead before even the fifth or sixth shot. I probably tell you that right now. Before the fifth or sixth shot, he was already dead. So you shot him an extra 55 times to make sure he was dead.
Crazy. That's insane. That is insane. That's crazy. Hold on, Brother Leonard, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Yeah, I was listening to what you were saying about the psychopath thing. And the DNA, that leads me back to Cain's descendants.
Yep, real talk.
Okay.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sure enough.
That is the truth. You telling the truth on that one, boy? Because that's off the chain. I mean, you know, for you, it has to be generational. It has to be. And that's when you ask yourself, you know, what are we really dealing with some of these people? You know what I'm saying? And even though they black and we see black people, we automatically run to their defense. But at the same time, we don't know what we're dealing with. You know what I'm saying? And that's real talk. We really don't know what we're dealing with that. You know, it's just because that's, you know, he was just a matter of fact, like, now I got no remorse. I don't feel nothing. And the man who took him in, they said once his father went to jail, he killed him. That's the one he killed. So, you know, you have to really, really be careful. And that's the biggest thing that I can say that I applaud the women's call for, because we cover it all. And it's not covered to cause any problems in anyone's home or anything, but to make your younger women aware of what to look for, you know, because we have to get past the, he's cute, oh, girl, I want to get to know him because he's fine. You have to get past that, because it's so many other variables that you're dealing with when you meeting these people in the street. You don't know where they came from and what type of background they have or what's running through their DNA. You just don't know. And you know what the bad part about it is? I'm going to tell you. I called to the sheriff's department here because I was putting together my program that I have for the women. You know, that especially when you're dating online or you're meeting someone on Facebook or you're doing something to the degree where you're meeting a stranger, you know, to just do a background check. Just do a background check on the public knowledge information. Information is public knowledge. A lot of it is if they've ever been in trouble, what they've been in trouble for, if they have a record, if they've ever been in prison, you know, domestic violence stuff. All that stuff is a matter of public record. So I asked the lady, I said, well, you know, sometimes you run into issues where there's two different people with the same name, and you want to make sure that you have the right person. So how do you get a picture of the person? Because the only way you can really get a picture now of a person is if they're in prison. You know, the picture comes up with the information. And she says, well, I said, so, you know, we teach the young women to run a background check on somebody that they just meet. You know what she told me? She said, why are you running background checks on people without them knowing it?
Wow.
I said, well, I mean, it just floored me for a minute. Because I'm like, excuse me? I said, well, they're meeting strangers. I mean, I'm trying to take her through this flow because evidently there's a disconnect somewhere. I said, they're meeting strangers that they know nothing about. So don't you think it's a good idea to check these people out first before you decide whether you're going to be alone with these people?
Yep.
She was like, well, I don't think it's fair for you to go into his information without him. I said, lady, this information is public record. It's public knowledge. When you pull up their name on the clerk of courts, it's a public knowledge. That's information for, I couldn't believe I had to explain myself. And this is law enforcement. I really yep. was shocked at the fact that I had to explain my, I felt like I was talking to a hybrid.
You probably was. You don't know. You might have been. Something mixed with something else.
And I'm like, wow. This is incredible. I mean, I just did not expect that reaction. I expected her to say, because I explained to her what it was. I said, we're putting a program together for young women when they meet people on Facebook or they meet people on these dating apps or they meet whoever they meet, show them how to go about checking these people out before they decide if they're ever going to be alone with these people. And I expected her to say, I think that's a wonderful thing. Let me show you how to do I had to explain to her first why we was doing it. I was
the
shocked.
Love of many has waxed. The love of many has waxed cold.
I just like I hung up the phone in total disbelief. I did. I said, "Don't that make sense?" And she was like, well, you can, and still had an attitude. Well, you have to come down here and pay such and such amount of dollars, and then you can get a photo of the person. I'm like, wow. It's definitely a different breed. We dealing with a different, I'm telling y'all, we dealing with some folks that ain't 100%. They just ain't 100%. I'm just going to tell you the truth. They ain't 100%. It's something else going on. It is. You know, that just don't make sense. From the shooting in the school, they said them poor kids in that school was decapitated. The only way they could identify them babies in that school was the parents had to bring, tell them what they wore to school that day. You know, and you wonder, you know, are these the people that's getting shot down? Are these the people that are, and not that it makes it right, but are they targeting a certain person or a certain group of people? Or, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just unbelievable the lack of empathy that people have anymore. They don't have any guilt anymore. Like he told me, I don't have no remorse. They don't have any remorse anymore. The moral compass is gone. Oh. It's incredible. It's just incredible. It's just unreal. You know how you can just stand there and do that. How you can. It's unreal that he could shoot three people just because. It's unreal that a police officer could shoot a man 60 times. It's just unreal. Mm-hmm. It's unreal of some of the stuff that's happening. And you wonder, you know, are these people really human?
No, they're not. Can't be.
Incredible. It's just incredible. It makes you wonder. It really, really makes you wonder what in the world are we dealing with here. That's why you better stay close to y'all. I'm really serious. You better stay close to the Most High and be obedient to what he is doing. Because I'm telling you, it's like if you give them, You better stay close to Yah. I'm serious. You really better. Hold on, let me play this one.
Being of Jaylen Walker in Akron, Ohio, authorities expected to release body camera footage today. ABC's Ellen Lopez has the latest.
This morning, the city of Akron bracing for potential protests.
That's incredible. And see, Akron is one of them towns. It used to be ran by the mob, that, you know, back in the day.
And a body camera video set to be released today, showing the moment officers shot and killed 25-year-old Jaylen Walker.
It's a nice day. People want to be at the pool right now. We want to be swimming. We don't want to be out here. But we're going to be out here because justice demands balance and equality.
Authorities say police reported gunfire from the car Jaylen Walker was driving as they were trying to pull him over for a traffic violation Monday morning. Walker's family attorney, Bobby Zicello, says a gun was found in that back seat, along with shell casings, but that Walker was unarmed as officers fired at him more than 60 times.
Incredible. That's just incredible.
The lawyer said she viewed police body camera footage ahead of its public release and claims that it shows Walker posed no threat to officers. ABC News has not seen that video and cannot independently verify what it shows.
You can see his hand as he's running on the video. The officer is supposed to engage him in tasers. Why do 8 men shoot him, mostly from behind, as he's running away?
Police stated actions by the suspect caused the officers to perceive he posed a deadly threat to them. But Zicello says he saw no evidence of that in the footage he reviewed.
Just sprinting away from these men. He is shot as he starts to turn and look over his shoulder, and that's when he's dropped.
The officers involved in that fatal shooting remain on paid administrative leave pending the outcome of the investigation.
We'd like to know why he shot down like a dog. Simple as that. Why is that necessary?
Elwin Lopez, ABC News, Atlanta.
Wow. Well, hey there, Jimmy. From the back. That's great. That is insane. From the back, running away, getting shot, and he's proposed a threat. That's incredible. Wow. That is insane. Like he said, this is all over the world. Everybody is talking about this. Hold on. Here, so let me see.
Good afternoon. Thank you for being here. I know this is a somber occasion for all of us and for the entire city. Before I begin, let me again extend my condolences to the family and friends of Jaylen Walker. I know that no amount of grief or prayer will bring Jaylen back. Excuse me. But please know this city mourns with you.
That is crazy. Do you know how crazy that is? They shot the man running away. But like you said, the white boys that go in and kill people lay his gun down and they take him in the cut. You're a man, I'm telling you, this is some ugly stuff.
Add it to your prayer. How long, y'all? How long do we have to sit here with these people doing what they do? I know he has his time, but I know them souls sitting around him. And how long do you avenge him?
That is insane, y'all. Running away from the police. They shot 90 bullets and hit him 60 times. 60 times! That's insane. It keeps on happening. It just keeps on happening over and over and over and over again. And all I can say to our people and our young people is, when they pull you over, pull over. Stop. Don't give them a reason. Don't run from them. Don't give them no reason, because you're not going to get the benefit of the doubt. You just ain't going to get the benefit of the doubt in some cases. When they tell you to stop, pull over. Even if you got a gun in the car, pull your ass over and stop.
Yeah.
Because that's going to be the difference to whether you live or die. Because, you know, there ain't no benefit of the doubt for us. especially no young black man, pull over. Do whatever they tell you to do. That's insane. Lord, help me. Please, y'all, help me. Please help us. You know? I don't even know what to say on that one. I mean, how do you shoot somebody from the back running from you? And you feel like you being threatened. You mean that white boy wasn't no threat when he came out that grocery store with that assault rifle in the van? That wasn't scared?
Now, he wasn't no threat. He, to them, he wasn't no threat. He just did them a favor. And that shows you how they really feel, how they truly feel about us as a people. You know, and that's coming all across the board. You know, they letting it come out. Let it come out. Stir yourself up. Like it says in the scripture, let the weak sound strong. You know, the Most High deal with all that. You know, we're not going to deal with it. The Most High is going to deal with it. And, you know, that just tells you, they go to their little churches and they pray and all this stuff. It's fake. Because if you really believe in a creator of the universe, you really believe in the God, you couldn't do stuff like that. You wouldn't even think about doing stuff like that.
I don't even know what to say on that. That's off the chain. That is incredible. Yeah. That's crazy. But that's what we see it every time, and we get stunned every time, and every time it's the same stuff, every single solitary time. It's the same. It really is. Carry your insurance stuff in your car. If you don't have insurance, get insurance. Don't give them no reason, because you're not going to get the benefit of the doubt if you run it, if you run into that wrong one. Because let me say something. All of them ain't bad. Now, we got to say that. I'm going to say that. All of them are not bad, because I have done some things and been guilty of some things and ran into police officers from the other nations, and they gave me a pass. They were nice people. All of them ain't bad. But when you run into them wrong ones, make sure you dot your I's and cross your T's. Because one thing about it, they going to look out for each other.
Uh-huh.
They are. I'm just going to tell you the truth. Clearly. You got to make sure you dot your I's and you cross your T's. Have your stuff in order. Pull over. Put your hands on the steering wheel. If they tell you to get out, get out. They keep your hands visible. Don't. This is too much going on. I'm telling you, when you challenge them and you give them a reason, you do not get the benefit of the doubt. You just don't. I seen a video where the white boy pulled up into the police in the parking lot of the deputy sheriff's name where their truck was, and was lighting Molotov cocktails and throwing them on top of the sheriff cars. He had a whole box of Molotov cocktails, and he was lighting them with the wick, with the little cloth hanging out of them, and throwing them on top of the car, setting the cars on fire. When they pulled up, do you think they shot him dead? Now, they eventually shot him, but they gave him a whole lot of chances. They were like, you better put that down. Don't throw no another one. He throw it anyway. And they back up. Dude, I'm telling you, you better put that down. Don't throw no another one. And he still was throwing them. But when it comes to us, it's just automatic. Like, boom, boom, it's over with. You don't get the benefit of the doubt, I'm telling you. Better be careful with how you carry yourself out there, man. Lee, make sure you dot your I's and you cross your T's. No? Because Akron is a little small town. It's not real small, but it's small enough. You know. No. Oh, it's just, wow. I'm so sorry to hear that. I am so sorry to hear that. I really am. Our prayers go out to the mother and the family and everybody that's involved. You know, our prayers go out because that was excessive force.
Yep, yes it was.
That was excessive force because it only takes one bullet to kill 60, and from behind. Wow, I just read. That's terrible. Please, Father Yah, have mercy on us. Ooh. That's all I can say. You know, we and it's never a moment where you can't pray, because you're gonna have to continue to pray. Pray continually. You know, you're gonna have to continually pray for us as a people. You really are gonna have to pray for our children too, to get our children to understand. Don't play with these people. You know, because it's better to live. You know, even if you got to face jail time, some people ain't going to give you the benefit of the doubt. They just not. You don't get the same privileges that everybody else gets. You don't get the same leniency in some cases with some of them that they would give their own. Like I said, they all ain't bad, and I mean they all ain't. But when you run into them bad ones, you got to do what you got to do to get through that. Really do, because you may not get a chance to see another day. You have to really be careful with that. Sad, it's a sad day when you can shoot a young man in the back with like his attorney said, the multiple of the bullets was from behind. That makes sense. That's crazy. That is insane. But that's the world we living in. Them is the people we're dealing with. It's like I said, the Most High knows, and I'm going to say this again, like we say in class, the Most High knows those that are going to make it. He knows the Israelites that's going to make it, and he knows the Gentiles that's going to make it. He knows the ones that's going to make it. And the ones that's doing this kind of stuff like this, you know, you already know something else is going on. If you can consciously do that and know you're doing that, and that's okay. He knows those that's going to make it. They already sealed and signed. All he got to do is activate them. So, you know, we just really going to have to pray. We are really going to have to begin to pray, because that's off the chain. That's just too much. You know, I have to tell my grandsons all the time, because I have a grandson that's working in a place where one side is all black and one side is predominantly white, and everybody stay on their side, but you do have some time where the blacks cross over and go on the white side to go to the grocery store and do what they do. But everybody knows the police department is racist. Everybody knows. And I have to tell my grandson, you know, when you dealing, you get ready to get on the bus and you better go home, don't play no games, get up out of there. No games. No. Absolutely no. It's just too much. It's a lot. That's a lot going on. A lot.
Yes, it is.
No. But it's the world we live in. It ain't getting no better. It's just getting worse and worse and worse. And evil seems like evil. And having a party. It's a rampage going on with evil. It really is. It's so much stuff going on now. That, you know, you just have to sit back and pray, because it's just too much. My daughter was talking about how bad the BET Awards was. And I was like, you know, I really don't watch it. She said everybody was complaining about that mess. She was like, it was the most ghettoest mess we have ever seen. She was like, it's just It's a shame how we as a people, that used to be the awards, which I didn't really watch because I don't watch all that stuff anyway. But she was like, that used to be the awards where, you know, the black people would come out and celebrate their accomplishments. They would dress a certain way, and it was real. She said, nah, it's the whole thing. It's just went to a whole nother level. And I'm like, well, you know, you just going to have you can't, what do you expect? What do you expect?
Right.
You know? So, you know, it's just, you know, it just, I don't know. I just don't really know. I just don't know. It's just too much. And, you know, that's how it was yesterday. They really had to talk me down yesterday, and I appreciate everybody that was on the call yesterday to horn in on how I was feeling and the things that I was saying, because I needed that. I really did, because sometimes it gets to be a lot. And like I said, we know the curse is over, and the curse is over, but the captivity is still here. And it takes a lot sometimes to just get past that, because it's a lot to watch. It's a lot to watch. You know, just senses lies just being wasted for no reason at all whatsoever. You know, you can't afford to run from these people. Stop running. Stop the car. When they tell you pull over, pull over. Don't play with them. Because that, to me, that was just excessive force. And you shooting somebody from the back? Jesus. How do you justify that? I mean, I don't understand. But, you know, we've come to the end of our show. And as usual, we have had a very good show. You know, but, you know, like I said, we have a lot of work to do with our young women and our young men. And we got to start. You know what? I know everybody's busy and everybody got time. But I think to start volunteering some of our time to going and talking to some of our young people. And, you know, it's one thing. You know, IUIC and them is doing great with the who we are as Israelites and what our foundation is. But sometimes we need to go talking to them about the laws and what the laws is for you as a person and how is, you know, the things, those type of things. We need to start talking to our young people about that and how to get, because we need to get them past, they don't need to be getting shot down at 25 and 22 and 30 years old and shooting and killing each other. We got to start doing something in our community and volunteering some time and trying to do something. Because, I mean, this is just overwhelming. It's a lot every day. It's every day.
Mm-hmm.
Every day.
Like it don't stop.
Don't stop. It just don't stop. So think about that. You know, give it some thought. You know, I know these young kids is carrying guns and everybody want to shoot them up and everything like that. And, you know, they don't think. But, you know, we got to start putting some effort in there. We can do it virtual. You know, they need to know what the laws are. I even told my grandson, I said, do you know what your Miranda rights are when they say you have the right to remain silent? And he was like, no, Grandma. I said, well, let me teach you what they say. So you know, and what that means. That means keep your mouth shut.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying, Chef? We got to sit them down and teach them those type of things. When they say anything you say can and will be used against you in the court of law, shut your mouth. I even told him, I said, if they ever take you downtown or take you to the police station and they tell you you're not under arrest, get up and walk out. We just want to ask you some questions, and we thought you might want to help us. Get up. No, I ain't got nothing to say. Get up and walk out.
Yep.
You know, because our kids get jammed up like that not knowing stuff. Because everybody been babying them their whole life. Oh, come here, Pookie. You need to teach Pookie how to be a man. and how to handle yourself in this problem. We've been babying them too long. And then they get out there thinking these people care about them and these people going to play with them, and they're killing them.
Mm-hmm.
No? For real. Come on, Mookie. Mookie needs to sit down. Mookie's 30 years old. It's time for him to understand what life is all about. That ain't cute no more. He might be Mookie to you, but to them, they don't see you like that. They'll shoot you down. Know how to conduct yourself when you're in them streets when it comes to them people of the other nations. And sometimes even with your own people, that's police officers.
Yeah, because some of them ain't no better.
They ain't no better, for real. You got to be proactive now and be smart now, because that's your family. That ain't their family. They don't care nothing about it. And that's what the boy said that killed the three people. He said, they said, well, when you was held up in the hotel with the girl and the kids, why didn't you shoot at the police? You know what he told them? Because I ain't want them killing my kids. I said, wow. He said, I ain't want them shooting up my kids. But you done just killed three innocent people for no reason. He said, my kids was in there. I ain't want them to kill my kids. I wanted my son to have a chance at life. So it's a lot. I mean, it's a lot to have to do. It's a lot to teach them. And you got to start when they're young. You got to be able to teach them the laws. What you can and can't do. What you can say and what you can't say. What they can do and what they can't get away with. We so busy dressing them up and spoiling them and making them and trying to have them feel what life is really all about, that we have to start letting them feel this stuff and see this stuff is real. They playing for keeps out here. No? For real. I know I sound crazy, but it's the truth. You know? You teach them the Miranda rights. You let them you recite that to them. Sit them down. Have class. Like, this is what they say. This is what it sounds like. And when they read you your rights, you a suspect. And shut your mouth. And another thing, when you call 911, they got 911 operators set up to take confessions. So when you tell them, come, something has happened. Them people on that 911 call is getting in front. Well, tell us what's going on. Well, what did they do? Please hurry and come. And they play that tape back. That's your confession. And then you say this, boop, and they play it back. Jeez, you better start getting smart. Now, I ain't tell nobody to get away with nothing. I'm not saying that because I don't believe in no violence, breaking no laws of no kind. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying in order to protect yourself, you have to learn how to be proactive and know how to move and shape in the society that we in today, because everybody don't play fair. That happened to my brother-in-law. This man ran out in the street, and he called 911 and told him, man, I just hit this guy. He ran out in the street, and I ain't see him. Well, because of what he said, they held him accountable. And the man was like, well, you said on the tape you hit him. He said, but that ain't what happened. The man ran up and hit me. He said, well, if you had said that on the 911 call, then the situation would have been different. But you said I hit him, and I didn't see him. I was like, wow. Man, you better train your kids on what to do and what to say, I'm telling you. And get them, if they out there driving, make sure they got insurance and everything else. For real. It'll prove to be real. It'll prove to be real ugly. You know, because they your kids, they not theirs. They don't care nothing about them. You got some that care and some that's decent. All of them ain't bad. I'm going to say that again. All police officers are not bad. But you got some out there that come to work with an agenda. And you got some out there that's involved in some stuff outside of work that's really, that has a lot to do with racism and different things like that. And they take that authority that they have with that gun to a whole nother level. So you got to make sure, you know, one day your son may run into one of them. And you got to be able to handle yourself a certain way. You know, if you get pulled over and they ain't right, dial 911 and lay the phone down so that all of it will be recorded. Lay it on the seat. Dial 911 when they walking up to your car and lay the phone down on the seat and put it on speaker. You have to cover yourself for real these days because this is off the chain. I'm serious. Man. You never thought you would have to take your children through that kind of stuff.
No, you don't. You don't mean to think about that at all.
You don't. Well. So, you know, I just wanted to share that with you. You know, those are some of the things that I put into my program for the young people. You know, and to give, you know, I have a whole program that I'm writing for the young people to be able to get them prepared so they know how to carry themselves, how to conduct themselves, what to do and what not to do. You know, in all aspects of life, not just that, but everything, you know, from dating, you know, to how to conduct yourself on the job and all kind of stuff. We have to be able to teach those life skills to our young people. No. Because if not, they ain't going to make it. Dude said, I just snapped. He said, I just got tired. It was like everywhere I turned, it was no wind. Every time I turned around, somebody was coming at me for something, and something wasn't working out. And I just kind of hanged up, and I just snapped. I went and got the gun and just shot her in the head. And then I went to my stepfather's house, and because he wouldn't help me out with no money because I was struggling, I shot him in the head and then found $20,000 in his house.
Wow.
He did. You know.
The love of men has wasteful.
It really have no appreciation, no respect, nothing. It just wasn't there. It was like, well, they gone dead. Then they said the girlfriend was dead for 2 days, and her mama didn't even come in the house to see if she was alive or not. Check on your loved one. Like, for real. Woo, ugly, bro. That is some serious stuff. Just a whole... Huh?
I said, yeah, it is some ugly stuff.
That's the way they think. He sure did. He said, I was texting the mama like I was her on her cell phone, and the mama came to the house, but she didn't come in the door. I said, that was God, because if she'd have walked in the door, you would have shot her too.
Mm-hmm.
I was mad because she was laying there on the floor dead and the mama didn't even come to see about her. Crazy, man. I'm telling you, and it was just a matter of fact. And that was his way of thinking. And you know what? To him, it made sense. And that's why the lady that was interviewing was saying, so you thought that she should have come in the house? Yeah. Her daughter laying in there dead. It's like, yeah, wow. You know, she ain't care. You don't think that was God, that she didn't come in? What would you have done to her?
Ain't no telling.
Insane. I mean, real talk. That's crazy. you know, but, I mean, you know, this is the world we in, and this is real. And the Bible says that there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is destruction. And to these people, what they do makes sense. And to them it makes sense. Even though to you, you looking at them with your eyebrow raised, scratching the side of your temple like, what? You know, but to them, it makes all the sense in the world why they do what they do. And that's why you have to understand that everybody we dealing with don't think like you think. They don't process stuff the same way you do.
Sure don't.
No. No. It's just one of them moments that, you know, you got to be able to say that. Like, look, don't poke the bear. Sometimes it's best to just be cool with it and don't poke the bear till you know what you're dealing with. So I know we ran over a little bit. You know, I did a lot of talking, but I just wanted to get that out there, you know, because, you know, we have to be able to now be use psychology this time. We got to really be paying attention to our surroundings and who we're dealing with and who our children are dealing with and what's going on, because everybody ain't wrapped tight. They just ain't.
No.
They ain't wrapped tight, Brother Yerushalayim. They not.
No, they not. Can't be.
He was mad because the mama pulled up in the driveway and didn't come in the house because he was texting the mama from the girl's cell phone pretending to be the girl, and the mama didn't get out the car to come in the house.
That's a warped mind.
Crazy. And to him, it made sense. And he was in the house texting the mama. Or he might not sit at the house, but he wanted the mama to go in and find the girl's body because he had already killed the girl. It's a cruel world we live in, y'all. It's crucial. You know, and it ain't going to do nothing but get worse. Because this is what they produced. This is the type of mentality they produce with the music. This is the type of mentality they produce with the black movies. This is the type of mentality they produce with the drugs in the neighborhood. All this was orchestrated. It was.
Yep.
And this is the monsters that they produced. And to them, it makes sense. It's like, well, I had some old people I wanted to kill, but he said I was choosing my people very wisely as to who was next.
That didn't make you wonder.
He did. He was. He said I was choosing my people very wisely as to who was next. I had a bunch of bullets, and I was going to do some more folks. He said, and it's thank goodness that the sheriffs arrested me when they did. And the lady said, you wasn't going to go out in a blaze with the sheriff? No, I ain't want them killing my kids. But you just killed somebody else's kid, though.
Yeah, that's all right in his mind.
Yeah. Yeah. Because she couldn't make up her mind whether she was going to stay with him or follow behind what her mama said. So, but you're going to spare your children because you want your children to have a chance at life, but you just took somebody else's child. Two people's child. Well, everybody's somebody's child, so all three of them was somebody's child and somebody's father, somebody's brother, or somebody's uncle, or something. To him, it was making sense. And I'm like, wow. This is what we dealing with. This is what you're seeing on the news. These are the people that are shooting up everybody, so you better get prepared. And you better pray and cover yourself and your children. And keep Yah's laws, statutes, his commandments, so that he can protect you and keep you. Because everybody ain't rap tight. They just ain't thinking like you do. It's totally different. for real. I'm going to let you go. Thank you, Brother Urash Shalom, for helping me with the show today. I really appreciate you stepping up. And you have anything you want to say to everybody before we dismiss?
No, just want to tell everybody, like you said, you know, just stay prayed up and keep it moving, you know, and let's just pray and wait on the Most High to deliver us out of this land.
Absolutely, absolutely. You guys have a wonderful rest of your week. We'll be here at our regularly scheduled programs. Please be here to try to support if you can so that we can stay in His Word and the Most High can protect us from all seen and unseen dangers and keep us covered and let His angels be encamped around us. And we thank you, Yah, for all things, for you do all things well. Shalom, shalom, everybody. Have a wonderful week. Good night.
Shalom.